तस्यां कृता प्रणायाया प्रणयाभाय खातरा बहुमानेन क्षाबधा नोच्चु किंचन विप्रियाम। The demons had developed affection for Mohini Murti and a kind of faith in her, and they were afraid of disturbing their relationship. This is the verse we're reading to. Therefore, they showed respect and honor to her words and did not say anything that might disturb their friendship with her. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The demons were so captivated by the tricks and friendly words of Mohini Murti that although the demigods were served first, the demons were pacified merely by sweet words. The Lord said to the demons, "The demigods are very miserly and are excessively anxious to take the nectar first, so let them have it first. Since you are not like them, you can wait a little longer. You are all heroes and are so pleased with me. It is better for you to wait until after the demigods drink." Translation. O king, since the demons had promised to accept whatever the woman did, whether just or unjust, now to keep this promise, they showed their equilibrium, and to save themselves from fighting with a woman, they remained silent. The demons had developed affection for Mohini Murti and a kind of faith in her, and they were afraid of disturbing their relationship. Therefore, they showed respect and honor to her and did not say anything that might disturb their friendship with her. We all know by our personal experience the magnanimity of the power of Maya. So, how much is the inconceivable potency of he who is the controller of Maya? Krishna says in the Gita, "Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam," that this illusory energy is working under my direction. In fact, everyone is under the influence of Maya. No one can escape for even a second. In the purified condition, one is under the influence of Yogamaya. And in the rebellious, impure condition, we are controlled by Mahamaya. Maya means the energy of God. Everything is working under the direction of the energy of the Lord. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yobadatati kama. That there is one supreme eternal personality, that is Narayan. And all other personalities who are infinitesimal, who are infinite in number, they are eternally subordinate to that one supreme personality. The greatest illusion, the greatest disgrace, is when we want to consider ourselves to be the center, to be the object of affection, of love. When we want to be the controller, this is the sort of source of all misery, frustration, and disharmony within this whole creation. Because there is only one object, and all others are subject. That one object is Krishna. Eko bahunam yobadadati kaman. He is the only object of love. He is the only object of affection. He is the only object of worship and adoration. He is the only object of pleasure. He is the center of all that exists. He is the central pivot of all intimate relationships. We are all meant for His pleasure. We are all meant for His glorification. We are all meant for His worship. And all our problems in life stem from the seed contamination that we want to be the object. We want to be the object of love. We want to be the object of affection. We want to be the object of recognition or honor. We want to be the object of pleasure. But we never were, we are not, and we never will be. It is impossible. It is an utter impossibility. Our constitutional nature is eternally servant. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. We are eternally Krishna's servant. What does servant mean? That we are simply subjective eternally. Subject means we are meant for His pleasure. We never expect anything for ourselves. As soon as you expect anything from yourself, you are taking the position of God. This is an envious position. It is a grossly contaminated position. It is a shameful condition for the soul. When we expect something, that means we feel we deserve something. And to think that you deserve anything is a transgressing against the principle, the most sacred of all principles, that of humility. Therefore, a sincere devotee, he feels he deserves nothing but suffering. And anything that good comes into his life is only by the causeless mercy of Guru and Sadhu and Govinda. Causeless mercy. Any opportunity for me to engage in devotional service, I do not deserve it. It is the causeless mercy of the sadhus. I deserve to suffer in hell. That is the mentality of a sincere devotee. And when you have that mentality, you can be peaceful. Otherwise, you're constantly in anxiety because you think you deserve something. You think you deserve someone. And sometimes you get and sometimes you do not get. Sankalpa vikalpa, nashochati nakankshati. Simply hankering and lamenting. Accepting and rejecting. This is the dilemma of one who thinks that I am the object. I am the center. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is very simple. It's the solution to all problems. It is the only solution to put Krishna in the center, to simply take yourself out of the center and replace with Krishna. Can you do that? Then all your problems in life are solved. But a neophyte devotee is constantly in battle. When we accept Krishna consciousness, we put Krishna in the center, but we're still fighting, trying to keep our position in the center. Surrender, in essence, means to surrender to the fact that Krishna is the center. I'm not. I never will be, and I never was. That Krishna is the object of love. I'm not, and I never will be. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. I never was and I never will be. I am His servant. I am the servant of His servant. That is the constitutional position of the subject, to serve the supreme object of love, Govinda. That is surrender. Is it so difficult? Surrender is not some external form of giving money or giving some tapasya. The essence of surrender is to simply surrender the position that you've been artificially trying to keep, that I am the enjoyer, I am the center, I am the object, and let Krishna remain there alone, where he belongs. That is all. But the unfortunate condition of the conditioned soul is he is trying to cling, he is trying to grasp on to an illusion that is not even real. We never were the enjoyer, and yet we're thinking that I have to protect my position as the enjoyer. Simply admit it, accept it. Surrender. That is the goal of the human form of life. That is the only purpose of this human form of life. Examine all the anxieties and problems you have in life, and you'll find it's all because you want to be the center of the universe. Every single problem you have, it is only because you want to be the center of the universe. You want to be recognized. You want to be loved. You want to enjoy. Give it up. It is your only hope. Give it up. This whole world, people are fighting. They are declaring wars on one another. They're having great quarrel. Even amongst family members and friends and even godbrothers and godsisters. Because they will not give up the illusory position that I am the center. I am the enjoyer. I am the one. So here we find that the Creator of this wonderful illusory energy that is keeping us bound to this great, great illusion of false ego, ahankar. That divine source of all creation, from whom all truths are emanating, has incarnated in the beautiful form of a woman of the name Mohini Murti. And the demons, who are all very anxious to enjoy their senses, the Lord understands exactly how to keep everyone under the bondage of illusion. So therefore, she came in such a form that as she looked in each and every one of them with her beautiful eyes, each demon was thinking that she loves only me. That of everyone in this assembly, she is only attracted to me. My qualities have captured her mind. And she wants to enjoy with me. See the difference between Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. During the Raslila, the gopis of Vrindavan, they were dancing with Sri Krishna. But their only desire was not to enjoy Krishna, was to be enjoyed by Krishna. They did not have even the slightest trace of personal desire in their heart. Sometimes it is said that the gopis, they had transcendental lust. But the difference between transcendental lust and material, degraded lust, is the gopis, their lust, their burning desire was to be enjoyed by Krishna. They didn't have the slightest conception in their heart to enjoy Krishna. They simply wanted Krishna to enjoy them. They wanted to give him pleasure. But in this material world, lust, we want to take that place of Krishna. We want to be the object of pleasure and enjoyment. So the gopis had this pure divine lila with Sri Krishna. And as he was dancing with them, he was looking at each one of them in the eyes, and each one was thinking that Krishna is only being enjoyed by me. I'm sorry, he is only enjoying me. Not enjoyed by me, he is only enjoying me. He is so kind, he is so causeless merciful, that of all the gopis here, me, who am the most fallen, the most nothing, he's come only to me to enjoy my service, to enjoy my humble offerings. In this way, by Krishna's yogamaya potency, he was giving all the gopis the highest pleasure by thinking how much he is enjoying my loving service. That everyone else here, he's only with me. Huh? And similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the Ratha Yatra, there were 7 parties of Sankirtan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded himself into each and every one of the 7 parties. And each one was thinking that Sri Gaurasundar, how merciful he is. He has left all these other wonderful Sankirtan parties just to dance with us. Because the love of God for his devotees is so intimate and so personal that he creates the intoxicated ecstasy that he is so causeless merciful, he has agreed only to come to me to accept my service. Try to understand. This is a very difficult thing to comprehend. Because in the material world, one would become very proud that I am such a good devotee that Krishna has left everyone else just for me. But in the transcendental world, it is not like that. One is so utterly decorated with the jewel of humility that one is thinking great pride for Krishna, not for me. That I am nothing, I am insignificant, my service is so useless. But Sri Krishna is so kind that he has abandoned everyone to causelessly accept whatever little I have. How infinitely merciful I am is that Sri Krishna, and how I am so proud that I am his servant. And here, he is doing the same thing to the demons in the form of Mohini Murti. But the difference is the way they approach him. Because the gopis and the Sankirtaniyas of Navadvip, because they were approaching Sri Gauranga that I am your servant, he was giving them the idea that you only are serving me, and I am only accepting your service with great pleasure. So Mohini Murti, with that same divine potency, was giving the demons the misconception that she only loves me. She is only looking at me. She is so attractive to me. But they all simply wanted to exploit her and enjoy her. They wanted to give nothing from her. A devotee wants to give. A demon wants to take. That is the difference. A demon will sacrifice some temporary pleasure because he wants to take something very, very big from God. A devotee is willing to sacrifice everything to be enjoyed by God, to give something to Krishna, to give something to Gurudev. That is the difference. So each demon is thinking that she loves me. And as she's giving the nectar to the demigods, the nectar that they struggled and strived, practically gave their lives to attain, how much we can imagine how dear that nectar was to them. It was right in front of their eyes, pouring this nectar in the mouths of the demigods, their enemies. They were afraid to disappoint Mohinimurti. If they were to say anything, they would think, no, how could I say, she loves me so much. She loves me so much. I am the object of her love. If I stand up, then she may not love me so much anymore. If I say anything, she may not love me so much anymore. Therefore, they were all utterly silent. In this way, try to understand, Krishna knows how to keep everyone in illusion. Through the energy of Maya, he works in a very thorough and very complete way. Whatever slight little weakness we have, Maya knows exactly how to manipulate and exploit that weakness to steal your heart away from Krishna. Krishna is like the supreme nectar. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion. That nectar of devotion, it is Maya's duty to always keep your heart away from it. And she's very expert. She'll find whatever excuse to give you, to give some other alternative for the time being to the nectar of devotion. Just like the demons, to keep them away from the nectar, how expertly she handled the situation, Mohinimurti. There was no other way. They had already lifted mountains, crushed their limbs, dislocated all their limbs. They were screaming in agony for a long, long time in the process of churning the ocean. It was the hardest tapasya they ever performed in their life. But they were so lusty for this nectar. And finally, they got it. Do you think it's an easy thing, these monstrous rakshasa demons, to take this nectar away from them? Even the powerful demigods, they had no power to take it away. They could only stand and watch. But how expert is Krishna? He knew that why do they want this nectar? Because they want to enjoy. But my glance will appear to them even more nectarine than the nectar. So for her glance, they were willing to give up all the nectar. This is the power of the illusion of the opposite sex. Pungshastriya maitani bhavame tam tayor mito hridiya granti mahu atogri hakshetri sutapti vitaya janasya moho yamahamameti. This whole material existence is keeping everyone bound to the illusion that I am the enjoyer of the opposite sex. This is the basic principle of the entire material creation. The desire to enjoy the opposite sex. And it is said that this enjoyment creates a hard knot in the heart that is almost impossible to cut. And from this knot of material bondage due to the sex desire, our attachments are constantly expanding and expanding and expanding to all the paraphernalia that is required for this enjoyment. We become intensely attached to those things as well. So therefore, Mohinimurti was simply the ultimate personification of this principle standing right before the demons. They were willing to give up this one nectar, the pot of nectar, for the higher nectar of the pleasure, of the beauty of Mohini Murti. So how are we to understand and learn from this? Two things we should meditate on to bring a conclusion to this class. One is understand the power of Maya. She knows your weakness, and she is on a subtle, on a gross, on every level, she is working to steal your heart away from the nectar of Krishna. To keep you captured, to keep you in the bondage of illusion. Therefore, never trust your mind, never trust your senses. Always remain faithful to the divine order of Sri Gurudev. That is our only protection against the illusion of Maya. One who is faithful, obedient servant of the order of Gurudev, such a person can never fall victim to the illusions of Maya. But to the degree we take our life in our own hands, we accept the authority of our own mind and senses, to that very extent we are a slave of the illusory energy. We are being exploited and manipulated just as the demons were. And our hearts will be taken away from the real nectar. Huh? And the second thing we should meditate on is the principle Param Drishtva Nivartate. From the other point of view, that if you attach yourself to the higher taste of the beauty and glory of Govinda, then naturally you lose all your desire for the lower so-called nectar of this world. Krishna says in the Gita that unless one experiences the higher taste of the nectar of devotion, one cannot for long refrain from seeking out the nectar of material enjoyment. Therefore, we must replace all our desires with desire for service to Krishna. We must constantly be seeking the nectar of devotion to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And as long as we are seeking that, then the so-called pleasures of this world will no longer attract it. Will never, no longer attract our mind or senses. So therefore, we must struggle, we must strive to always remember Krishna. That remembrance of Sri Krishna will keep us immune from the influence of the forms of nectar of this material world, because he is the supreme nectar. And the transcendental means of always remembering Krishna, as taught by Sriman Mahaprabhu, is to always chant his holy names. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has prayed, I do not know, I cannot understand, I cannot conceive, I cannot express or explain how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. The name of Krishna cannot be vibrated by the manipulation of the tongue. Nothing material can produce transcendental sound. The name of Krishna is heard by the sadhus. It is springing from the core of their hearts. It is not simply coming from their tongue. It is springing from the core of their hearts, and it is manifesting upon their tongue. And it comes into our ears. And from our ears, it goes deeply into our heart. And the real chanting of the holy name is inspired chanting. Simply the mechanical chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna's name is not fully manifest in that. You cannot produce Krishna by your tongue. Krishna is only gotten through the hearts of the sadhus, the pure devotees. They have implanted the name within our heart. That's where the name actually is. And when we are sincere, and when we are struggling with dedication in the service of Gurudev, in the service of the Vaishnavas, to chant the name, with that sincerity, when we chant, the name actually springs from our heart into our mind, onto our lips, and then the name of God manifests. Rupa Goswami explains the two syllables Krishna. I cannot explain. I do not understand how much nectar they have produced. When the name of Krishna dances upon my tongue, it is so sweet that I desire thousands and thousands of tongues. One tongue is not enough to taste all the sweetness of Krishna's name. And when that name enters into my ears, like a flow, like a flooding river, flowing with nectar into my ears, what can these two little holes, how much can enter through them? There is a torrential flood of nectar coming in the name of Krishna, and I only have these two little holes to receive it. Therefore, Rupa Goswami desires millions and millions and millions of ears. And when that flow of nectar through our ears comes into our heart, it paralyzes our mind, it paralyzes our senses. We no longer have any attraction for any of the poison which is this in the illusion of nectar of this material world. Narottam Das Thakur has prayed, Samsara Vishanale Dibanishi Ajvale Judaiti na koinu upai. That although I'm so fortunate I've taken this human form of life, I've willingly drunk poison in the form of enjoying sense gratification. Sense gratification is like poison. It is poison. But we are thinking that it is nectar. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains that when the nectar of the holy name enters into my heart, then it is revealed that all other forms of enjoyment are simply poison. Not only are we not attracted, not only are we not attached, Jamunacharya spits at the thought of sense enjoyment after tasting the sweetness of devotional service. So let us always seek the nectar of devotion. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions?
I would like to ask your opinion about today's discussion. And it is mentioned that sense gratification, although everything is created by the God, why God created sense gratification? And God is residing in everybody's heart. So long God's power will go out from the heart, there will be no sense gratification. So, is it so that it is a creation of sense-verification, is creation of the God?
Janmajya-shajata. Everything is the creation of God. He is from whom everything emanates. Anandamayo-vyashat. He has created us in His image. Therefore, the desire for pleasure is inherent within every living being. It is the nature of the soul. But in the pure state, the soul's pleasure is in giving pleasure. to Krishna. But in the conditioned state, because we are in his image, avijja swarat, we also have independence as he has independence. When we misuse our independence, when we no longer want to be enjoyed, but we want to enjoy, then Krishna, that same yogamaya, simply transforms herself for us in the form of mahamaya. Yogamaya is constantly making newer and sweeter arrangements for us to be enjoyed by God, by wonder, more and more wonderful varieties of service to him. But that same yogamaya changes her form to mahamaya when we become envious of Krishna. And she's constantly providing newer and newer ways for us to enjoy our own senses. Why? Krishna is fulfilling everyone's desire since time immemorial. But ultimately, through the process of enjoying the senses in Mahamaya, the conditioned soul becomes frustrated because the eternal can never be satisfied in this temporary existence. So ultimately, Maya is meant to rehabilitate us, bring us back to the point of throwing up our arms into the air and admitting, I am not the enjoyer. I am not the center. I am not the object. I am your eternal servant, Krishna. I surrender. I'm tired of this suffering. I'm tired of this illusion. I'm tired of the pains I'm bringing on myself. I surrender. My only aspiration is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Is there any other questions?
Second thing is...
Yes. The price of Krishna consciousness is sincerity. A sincere person does not consider difficult or easy. A sincere person considers whether it is right or wrong. When a mother is sleeping in the middle of the night and the baby is crying, is it easy for her to get up and take care of the baby? Is it easy? Very difficult. But does she do it? Does she say, no, it's difficult, I will not do it, let it cry. Let it die. It's too difficult for me to get up and take care of it. Let it die. Every mother who has some sincerity of being a mother, even if it's the most difficult thing in the world, she'll get up and take care of the child. Right? There is no consideration easy or difficult. There's only one consideration, whether it is right or wrong. Right? Do you go to work every day? Do you love your work every day? Is there a day sometimes when you wake up and you don't want to go to work? When people that you have to deal with you don't like to even see? Your boss, the children that you have to deal with every day, sometimes it's the last thing in the world you want to do is face these people. Does that mean you do not go? Do you even consider whether you like it or don't like it, whether it's easy or difficult? You only consider one thing. It is my duty. I must do it. It is correct. The children who you're teaching in school, do you think they love to go to school? Most of them hate school. Most of them hate their teachers. Why do you think they face you every day? Because they love you? You think they want to be chastised by you every day? No, they hate it. But they do it because it's right. They don't even consider whether I like or don't like, whether it's easy or difficult. They have to do it because it's correct. It's truth for them. So in the most common matters of just survival in this material existence, we're constantly doing things we don't like to do. We're constantly accepting difficult things because it's correct. So in the spiritual realm, we are not following Guru's orders because we like it. We are not following Guru's orders because it's easy. We are following Guru's orders because it is truth. And if it is truth, we must do it. And as long as you're thinking in terms of I like or I don't like, or this is easy or this is not easy, that means we are not very sincere. Sincerity means, is it correct or is it not? Is it the truth or is it not the truth? Is this my duty and responsibility as a human being to follow this instructor or is it not? If it is, I do it. Under any condition of my mind or senses. I do it. I must do it. Spiritual life is a responsibility. It's not a hobby. A hobby you do when you like. A responsibility, you do it no matter what. Right? Do you pay your taxes? Do you like to pay your taxes? Why do you do it? Why don't you tell the government, I don't like this, I'm not going to pay. It's difficult to pay taxes, forget it, I'm never going to pay again. Why do you not tell them like that? Why you tell your guru that, but you won't tell the government that? Huh? Because it's not your hobby to pay taxes, it's your duty. Spiritual life is not a hobby. It is the sacred duty of the soul. Huh? The government doesn't give a damn whether you like it or not. They don't care whether it is difficult or not. It is your responsibility as a citizen of this country that you must pay. Huh? So it is our sacred duty to God to surrender to Him. And we surrender by following the order of Gurudev. It is the only way. There is no other process of surrender. Just like when you pay your taxes, it's not that you go right to VP Singh and say, here is my money. You have to pay through the respectful agent that he has given. Huh? He gives you the bill and you have to give the money to him, and then it goes to the king's treasury. We cannot approach Krishna directly. We cannot serve him directly. Therefore, his all-merciful manifestation in this world is through the spiritual master. And it is the duty of every human being to surrender to the order of Guru. And a sincere person who accepts it as responsibility does not consider easy difficult. Get this nonsense out of your mind. If it's right, you do it. Even if it means your life. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much.